Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Luke. It's a post-resurrection appearance of Jesus to two people who are on a road to Emmaus. Hear now this story of a journey. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking to each other about all those things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So we went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight." I want you to think with me for a few minutes about this story. Two people are traveling. We don't know who they were. We don't even know if it was two men and a woman, or a man and a woman. Because Jesus went to their house to eat, I tend to think it was a man and a woman. Cleopas is mentioned no place else in Scripture, except possibly in one other place. In John, the Gospel, it said that at the base of the cross, there was a Mary, the wife of Clopas. Now, Clopas is another form of the name Cleopas, so it could very well be that the companion of Cleopas on this travel was his wife Mary, and they were returning from Jerusalem. Think what it must have been like for these two. They were followers of Jesus. We don't know how close, although if indeed it was this woman that was at the base of the cross, it would seem to me that they were fairly close to Jesus, following. What kind of sadness must there have been if you had watched a man that you had faith was going to be the Messiah of your people be cruelly crucified and killed? All that hope gone, you were so sure that this was the man who was going to lead your people into freedom, free them from the Roman Empire, just one of a whole line of different groups who had subjugated them. And now that hope was gone. But there also had to be a great deal of fear. If you had been known as a follower of Jesus, do you think probably you might have been in the line of sight of those religious leaders and the Romans who had crucified Jesus? And so this pair was traveling back to Emmaus, possibly escaping from Jerusalem, but certainly with a lot of sadness and fear. And suddenly a stranger comes up to them, and he asked about it, and they started opening up, sharing those feelings but not recognizing Jesus. Traveling on, and then finally taking him into their house after being instructed. As Jewish people, they would have heard these scriptures for many years, but suddenly they were hearing a different story. They were seeing them through a different light. They were seeing them through the light of the Messiah. And so they got to their house and they offered a meal to this stranger. A very Jewish thing to do, to take a stranger into their house and not let them go on as it was getting dark. But as they sat at this meal, something very unusual happened. As he broke the bread, as he shared the wine, their eyes were open and they recognized him. Are those words familiar to you? We hear them often in Scripture. We hear them often here around this table as we share communion. He broke the bread and he shared the cup. But that was how Jesus often shared his message, not just on that Last Supper, but throughout his ministry. He sat at the table, and as he spoke to people, their eyes were opened and they heard him. This was a story that I shared with Sue. I was having trouble deciding what scripture I was going to preach on this time, and suddenly laying in bed one morning as I'm praying about this story came to me, and I'm like, really? I'd never really spent much time thinking about this. This is just one of those post-resurrection stories with people that we didn't even know, unlike the close disciples that had very specific instructions. But the more I read this story, and the more I thought about it, the more it occurred to me what an important this story is for you and for me. I began to realize that most of us go on Emmaus journeys during our life. I know I certainly did. Probably a big percentage of you here today grew up in church. It was always there. You learned the stories, you studied, you prayed, you sang the songs. But just because you do all that doesn't necessarily mean that it becomes a part of you, that it gets into your heart. You've learned the stories. Isn't that a lot like these two people traveling to Emmaus? They'd been around Jesus. They'd heard the stories. They saw what he did. And it became important to them. But they never fully understood. And so, after he was crucified, and even though there were stories that he was risen, they didn't even stick around to find out for sure if that was what had happened. They took off back home to Emmaus. And it wasn't until they encountered Jesus and had a spiritual encounter with the risen Lord that they began to understand. And they hurried back to Jerusalem to become a part of what was going to be happening. Isn't that the case for us with our studying? I know it was for me. I had grown up in the church, and yet in my late teens, my father got upset with the church, and they left the church, and I kind of, because I didn't drive, followed them. But then I went back to church when my children were little and went to Sunday school to make sure they could go to Sunday school. And yet a couple years later, I got disillusioned with the church, and I left. Because I had a understanding here of what the church was, but I hadn't gotten it here yet. It wasn't until a few years later that I then began to have some other experiences. I can tell you, it was in seventh grade that I first felt like I was going to be working for the church. Needless to say, I ran from that for a long time, since I was in my 40s when I finally went to seminary. But it wasn't until I began to get it here that I began to understand. I think that's what happened to those people on that road to Emmaus. They had heard it here. They'd even seen some of what Jesus did, but it wasn't really here yet. And then as Jesus talked to them, they began to get more of it here. They heard what the prophets had said. They heard what the scripture said about the Messiah. But it still wasn't here. And yet when they sat down at a meal with Jesus and he shared with them the bread, and their eyes were opened, suddenly it was here. Suddenly they knew what it meant to follow the risen Lord, and they rushed back to Jerusalem to share that excitement. I think that's how it is for all of us. We spend years, possibly, getting that intellectual, but we've got to get that in here. That's why being part of a church is so important. And it's twofold, because it's very important we get that intellectual. We need to study. We need to read scripture. We need to hear the stories. We need to hear the sermons. But we also have to work on this part. Because this, when we hear this part, is when we truly can become followers of Jesus. Not just in name. Yeah, we grew up in a church that was a very strong fixture in the community. Most of us, when we were younger, it wasn't a matter of did you go to church, it was where did you go to church. That's not the case nowadays. So we're facing a whole different journey. And as a church, we need to understand that. And what do we do about it? Many of you here, we have people here that have been here 40, 50 years, and you remember when these pews were full, when there was plenty of people to do the work of the church, and that's not the case anymore. So this church is on a journey. We're looking for ways to go beyond the head to the heart. And that's not easy when you live in a world that doesn't necessarily support you. We're in what's known as the post-Christian era. It's not always popular to be Christian anymore. It's not always easy to talk about who we are. It used to be easy to talk about what church you went to. Even if it was to people that you knew went to church and they maybe didn't believe exactly as you did, you could still talk about your faith. And that's not always so easy. That's why in the Presbyterian Church and most Protestant churches, the word evangelism has become almost a four-letter word. Because nobody likes to think about doing evangelism. If I talk about evangelism, probably most of you visualize Jehovah Witnesses going door to door, or maybe the Baptist standing on a street corner with tracts handing them out. But most of us aren't comfortable with that kind of evangelism. But if we want the church to thrive and to be able to do the work that God has called us to do, we need to find a way of doing that. I got to tell you, some of you, probably most of you don't even know this yet because it's a fairly recent decision of the session. We have, this year, we've developed an outreach committee. It had always been outreach fellowship, but we split them up. So we now have an outreach committee, somebody that's specific job is to find ways to promote our church, to help people know who we are and what we do. Well, the decision was made, because people don't understand outreach, they often think of it as mission, that would become the church vitality ministry. So now if you hear us talk about church vitality, it's because we felt that held a stronger message for what this ministry is to do. It's to help us reach out into the community and help people community and help people understand who we are, because we're getting it here. That it's not all intellectual. People need to know that we care. I look over here at Stuff the Bus, and I know we care, but we have to find a way to make people out there know we care and want to be a part of this, because we're not just concerned about numbers, but we're concerned about people who can share that same love of God as we do. One of the first things the ministry did, and I've lost my bulletin, here it is, is they devised a new mission statement and vision for us. I want you all to take your bulletin. As part of Trinity's journey, and yes, Trinity has been on an Emmaus journey also, we've had ups and downs, but I think we're now in a very strong point. I think we've heard Jesus' message to us, and our eyes have been opened, and understand that we've got something special to offer to the world. I want you to look on the front page. There's Trinity's new vision, Could you join me in saying that vision? All people know God's loving presence. As we go into our mission blueprint in a couple weeks, this is going to be a focus of what we're working on. And our mission, which is how we plan to help fulfill this vision and help people know it, is, join me, to inspire lives by loving God with all our soul, mind, and heart, and our neighbor as ourselves. That's part of our Emmaus journey. Like those Emmaus travelers, this church started 60 years ago, has had some amazing journey and travels there. At one point, there was 1,400 people here. But it's important that we understand that as we have Jesus here, as God inspires our lives, our journey is continuing. We're going to have this missional blueprint. And let me help you understand this. We're calling this a missional blueprint. If you were out in the business world, or even in the nonprofit, they would call it a strategic plan. But it's important for us to impart to you and to us that this is a spiritual plan for us. It's not all about business. It's about taking that spiritual understanding of who we are, of understanding our eyes have been opened by our love for Jesus Christ, and we want to communicate this. We want to travel back to Jerusalem and share the good news. So this is a spiritual mission blueprint. It's looking at our church for who we are and who we would like us to be and how we can find a path to get there. We've offered the opportunity for people to come join us in this, and right now we have 35 that are planning on being with us there that day. But every one of you here is a part of that mission blueprint. We've asked you to fill out surveys to offer up to us your ideas if you can't be there. And even if you're going to be able to be there, to fill that out in advance so we have the people that are helping us do this know. But what's really important is we all pray about this. The people that are going to be there that day, but also those of you that can't be. Pray about this because this is from here. This isn't just from here. We have to use our heads to find a path. But if we don't have this guiding us, then this path isn't going to work. And each of you need to commit that after we've made this plan, you're going to be on board and you're going to help us fulfill it. Because our Emmaus journey is continuing. We've seen Jesus Christ, and our eyes have been open. And we know the importance of sharing that message with the world in what we do and what we say. And planning everything we do around that. On Friday night, we had a wonderful piano concert. Some may say, how does that feed into our vision? We were feeding spirits that night. We were helping people see a wonderful talent of some young people. But we were also opening our doors so they could see us. There were some wonderful comments from people that have never been in here before. So we're going to be doing different things. But most importantly is that we remember behind everything we do is our love of God and our desire to share that love with others. So that we can do more, we can be more, and as we travel to Jerusalem, we can find a way to be what God wants us to be in the world, reaching out to people with all our mind, soul, and heart, and loving others, our neighbors, whoever they are, whatever color, sexual preference, race, creed, religion, helping them to see the love of God in our faces and in our actions. Because that's what Jesus has called us to do. As he's visited us on our Emmaus journeys, and he's charged us to go out into the world to love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. Each of us is on our own Emmaus journey. Each of us is seeking to find a better way to live our lives, to serve others. This week, as you go out into the world, remember you are on that journey. Find little ways to help you grow better and hear, to understand more about God's place in your life and how that calls you to live. This is a world that has seen so much trouble. It needs desperately the message we have to give of love, of having all people know God's loving presence in their lives. You can be a part of that as you travel on your journey of spreading God's love. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you each this day and as you go out of these walls forevermore. Amen.